Welcome to the Head to Heal podcast, where you'll go head over heels learning about how the body and the brain work together to either feed disease or fight it. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, certified holistic nutritionist and founder of the Mindful Clinic. With a background in nutrition, behavioral neuropsychology, and hypnosis, I'm going to walk you through the root cause of your symptoms and disordered behaviors. The body has an innate ability to heal. No one is destined for illness, and most, if not all, disorders can be reversed. Come with me as we develop a new understanding of how you can use your head to heal and truly thrive. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Head to Heal podcast. I'm your host, Jordana Sade, certified holistic nutritionist, hypnotherapist, and founder of the Mindful Clinic. I want to preface this episode and all future episodes by saying that I'm not a medical doctor and you should always seek help from a physician before beginning any new health regime. Okay, guys, this is the final episode of 2022. I literally cannot believe how quickly it happened. I think because I had the baby in May that it just like didn't seem like we had a full year. But here we are at the end of 2022. And my only hope for you guys is that you can take some time before the new year, of course, and just do a quick inventory, if you will, of everything that you've accomplished this year. Because even though maybe not all of you accomplished huge, huge things, there are always these little moments in the year that are teaching moments and lessons that will actually help to propel you into the next year or help you to become the person that you are actually destined to be. So I think when we can shed light on those moments and kind of like give yourself the verbal acknowledgement that you all deserve, I think it can actually also highlight more of that, like this and more, you know, like let's manifest more of those like behavior changes. Let's manifest more of that abundance all in 2023. So that's actually what I'm going to do with you today. I'm going to talk to you guys about some of the lessons that I learned in 2022 and basically what came from them. And I'm hoping that you guys can listen to this podcast and you don't have to go through some of the like actual hard parts of the lesson. You can just take my advice and take those lessons into 2023 with you as well. So there are a number of them. I have maybe five, maybe six. We're just going to riff and go right through them. But this was a really, really big year for me. Like this was a huge year. There were so many challenges. And even though I'm sure you guys all follow me, I'm sure on Instagram or socials, and you might not always see this side of me where I am actually truly struggling. And, you know, when you have that social media presence, you have to show up every day and really be authentic as much as possible. But at the same time, it's really hard to show those vulnerable sides. And because I am the cheerleader for my entire community, especially my clients, when they're going through a hard time, it's really hard to apply some of those lessons to myself. And so this was a really big year. There were a lot of like hardships, if you will, but actually what's come from it is quite beautiful. So I'm really excited to share this with you guys. And I'm going to tell you guys a lot about some parts of my journey that I might not have shared before. And some of this might be a little bit repetitive, but at the end of the day, some of these lessons, unfortunately, we just have to like learn ourselves before we can actually integrate them. So the first thing that I learned that I want to share with you guys is sometimes you need to slow down to speed up. So if you know me, you know that I have a tendency to overcommit. I basically, in the past, have loved to completely fill my schedule to the point of it really being detrimental to my own health or the people around me. And I don't know a single person who works as much as I do, like not just with the Mindful Clinic, but just in general, just like does as much as I do. And I used to really say that proudly. Like I used to be like, nobody works like I do. Nobody puts in the effort as much as I do. And I used to think this was something to be really proud of. And thank you, Dad, for my overachieving tendencies. But as I am starting to realize, as this year really showed me this whole different side, unfortunately, you do have to slow down to really speed up. So I'm just going to give you guys an example. I really want you to get an idea of like what it is that I fill my schedule with, what it is that I do on a daily basis. And this is like pretty much in any given moment. Like, of course, there are things that come up like birthday parties or whatever that you have to commit yourself to. But just like the baseline of what I do, like my responsibilities on a daily basis are insane. So pretty much, you know, I have a six-year-old, right, Racer. He's love of my life. He does multiple sports, multiple extracurriculars. So that, you know, there's getting him to school, getting him to all that stuff, facilitating that whole process, making sure he's happy, et cetera. And then I just had a baby. So she's 7 months old now. So I had her in May and it was a C-section and I went back to work after 2 weeks of the C-section, like full time, right back to work. Okay. I go to the gym every day, so no excuses. I mean, of course, if I'm sick, if I'm like my body's really fatigued, I might just go for a walk outside, but I get movement in pretty much every single day. And this isn't because I want to every day, but I actually know that sometimes you have to do the things that don't feel good before to get the benefit afterwards. So, you know, I go to the gym every day. I run a full-time practice. So you see me at the Mindful Clinic. I'm pretty much booked out for months in advance. I'm so grateful. I'm so, so grateful for my practice. And most of my clients actually have 24-hour access to me. So they can really contact me at any point in time and I'm obligated to respond. Not obligated. It's a pleasure to do the work that I do, but that there is like that level of energy and commitment there. I'm also in school full time. So this year I was like, I'm not going to go back full time. I'm going to take the time off. I'm only going to do half a course load. And then I get to school and everyone's talking about their thesis and this and that. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. And I'm really, really proud of myself because I just finished the fall semester and actually like I have like a 95 average. And that's another thing. It's not just that I have these things like as tasks. It's they have to be done with a certain level of perfection. So I truly do like drive myself crazy. And this is not even counting the stuff like, you know, cleaning the house, cooking, making content for you guys, even this podcast, like this all takes time. And so it's a lot. And it's something that I used to really pride myself in. But as I'm starting to kind of work even more in the manifestation world, where I'm really trying to manifest like full abundance, manifest a state of overflow, manifest like my deepest desires, like get into this whole new phase of my life, I'm starting to realize that the more that I fill my plate up, the less I'm able to actually propel forward. It's like, if I can just paint this picture for you guys, imagine you have a completely full closet. You can't just bring new clothes into a full closet. You have to like empty the closet out, right? And I'm sure you've seen this with like toxic relationships or whatever, where you're like, you know, you can't meet somebody new as you're filling your life with like somebody who isn't right for you. And it's the same thing when it comes to moving forward and changing and evolving. And so as long as I'm completely filling my schedule with like this and that and taking on new jobs, and if I ever have a moment, you know, in the summertime when I don't have school full time, like I'm signing up for another course, you know what I mean? So as long as I'm filling my plate like that, I actually don't have the space or the time to propel forward. And this year I had like a very small health crisis. It's not a big deal. We'll talk about it in another thing that I've learned this year. But it actually forced me to reach out and find a new healer who I love. I've had her on the podcast. Her name's Dr. Taggy. She's incredible. And she's really shown me how the tendency that I have to like over, like expect so much of myself is actually really keeping me stuck and not allowing me to move forward. And so one of the things that she told me in one of our last sessions is that she was like, Jordana, I want you to feel bored with yourself. Like, I want you to take some time and I want you to really feel bored. And I was like, oh my God, that's my worst nightmare. Like, I don't even know what I do. Like in an instant I'd be scrolling. In an instant I'd be like journaling or like coming up with something. And it's just really important that I highlight this because I think that we don't take enough time to actually sit in the void, to actually truly feel the space to allow new downloads to come in. So I've been really trying to put this into practice and I'm trying to be bored with myself, if you will. And it's in those moments where I truly have nothing going on that I get these massive hits, these massive downloads, these really big ideas of how to get me to the next level. You know, we all have goals and dreams and mine are fucking big. Like I have some really big goals and this like 2023 is already going to be such an expansive year. I've already had, there's so much movement career-wise, even family-wise. And I'm so excited to dive into it. But in order for me to get from like, if I'm at point A and I want to get to point B, I can't get to point B by doing the same stuff. And as long as I continue to fill up my schedule, I will never have space to do the things that I need to in order to get to spot B, right? And so it's in this void that I've had these incredible ideas that will really bring me to the next level. And so my thing I want you to take home from this is that sometimes you have to slow down to speed up, guys. Take the time. There is no rush. Like time is something that was made by humans. We are the ones who are in a rush all the time. We get anxious. We're fearful. We're not going to achieve. The universe has no time frame, right? Time does not exist in the universe. And so take the time to really slow down, to really give yourself the space in order to be able to propel yourself forward, to lay the groundwork so that you can change and evolve and be a different version of yourself. Because if you're not like evolving, you're dying. Like you're either moving forward or backwards. There is no standstill in this type of universe. And so it's just a really amazing process when you can take the time to slow down, which I think especially, and I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but especially in my upbringing, that was like villainized. Like I would sit on the couch, my dad would be like, you're wasting your life away. And so if we can actually take that time to slow down, we give the body and the brain and the soul the time and the space to move forward. So slow down to speed up. It's number one. The second thing that I learned this year, and this is a lesson I've had to relearn, is that the lows are going to bring the highs, okay? I say this to my clients all the time, but it's like, I want you to view, if you're in the void, if you're stuck in your shit, if you just feel so unaligned, so uninspired, you feel like you're dragging your feet every day, you're depressed, you feel hopeless, you feel like you're never going to change. Like when you're in this sticky bit where you feel like victim mentality, nothing's going to work for me. When you're there, I want you to view that feeling, that emotion, as if your higher self is coming to tell you something's not right, something's not right. And of course, your higher self has to do that through negative emotion, because if you don't have that negative emotion, you would never change anything, right? Like if you felt good all the time, there's no growing, there's no need to change. And so the actual motivation to make the changes that you need to bring you to your next like highest level of self has to come through that negative emotion. And so when my clients are like, oh, I feel stuck, I can't move forward, I'm like, this is my favorite thing ever. I love it when my clients feel this way because it means that we're actually on the brink of something great. And so if you are in the void, right? If you're stuck in your shit and you continue to tell yourself that story. So for example, like depression is state-dependent memory, right? Like this is a cyclical cycle. So what that means is that when we have these different types of memory and long-term memory and short-term memory and the way that the brain works and utilizes how we remember things. And so basically when we are in a specific state, whether that's an emotional state or a physical state, the brain is going to send us cues to behave in ways that are consistent than when we were in that state in the past. So for example, if you are in a state of stress and you eat ice cream when you're stressed. The next time you're stressed, the brain's going to remember, oh, if I eat ice cream, it's going to make me feel better. So I'm going to crave ice cream, right? When in the case of depression, it's state-dependent memory, because when you're depressed, you're going to remember every single thing that you encoded when you were in that state in the past. So I'm sure you guys can relate to this, but have you ever felt so depressed and low? And then you just remember like all of the shitty things that have ever happened to you. You're like, and then my dog died and like, oh, my boyfriend broke up with me and I got a B on that assignment. And like, it's just, you just remember all the shitty things that have ever happened to you. And so this is why it's like a cyclical cycle. It's state dependent. So the more depressed you are, the more you're going to remember all of the depressive things. And it just brings you downward, down and down the spiral. And when you're in that spiral, when you're sitting in your shit, if you can't keep faith through the void, meaning if you can't remember that this negative emotion is actually designed to bring you the high. It's designed to create and facilitate the changes that you need to in order to get to your next best self. If you can't remember that, like, oh my gosh, the lower I am, the higher I go. Like when I'm in the low, I'm on the upswing actually. If you can't remember that and you catastrophize and you say, I'm always gonna be this way, nothing ever works for me, I'm always gonna be fat, I'm always gonna be lonely, nobody loves me. Like, and you continue to reiterate the same like inner wounds, I'm not lovable, I'm not enough, I'm not worthy, and you believe it, you're just gonna stay there much longer, right? And so I'm going to tell you guys about an experience I had. I think I probably maybe have talked about this on the podcast, but basically, I mean, this is like such a surface level thing, but it was something that I really, really had a hard time with this year. So anyways, with the birth of my son 6 years ago, I gained like 80 pounds in pregnancy. I was almost 250 pounds by the time I was done the pregnancy. And within 5 months, I was already back in my pre-baby clothes and more. Like I lost 90 pounds in like 5 to 6 months. And it was an amazing feeling. Like it was like I had found myself again. And now mind you, I did not do it in a very healthy way. I did it by starving myself and over-exercising. But with this pregnancy, I kind of expected the same thing. I think when I finished being pregnant with Veda, I was 217 pounds and she was 7 pounds. So, you know, like they take the baby out and a lot of the weight when you're pregnant is water weight. And so after you have the baby, there's like this really awesome period where the weight comes off like really rapidly, right? So anyways, they take the baby out. She's 7 pounds. They sew me back up. I'm like, in, you know, in the hospital for a little while and not obsessing over the scale, but just like trying to see my progress. And every day I would step on the goddamn scale and every day nothing would change. Like I sat at 210 pounds for months, right? Even after my C-section healed, even after I was going back to the gym, like I remember logging it in August. So I had the baby in May. In August, I logged it in on my app. I'm still 210 pounds. So the only weight that I have lost is the weight from the baby. And let me tell you something, like I have a very healthy relationship with food. Like I never binge eat. I never overindulge. I mean, of course, I do this as my job, right? So I'm so past that. It's not a part of my reality at all anymore. And I'm exercising every day and I eat really healthy. And so I'm just like, this doesn't make any sense. And so again, this is like my health crisis. So this like forced me to really go out and to like figure out what was going on. I'll come back to that in a second. But the reason why I'm telling you guys this is because in those moments where I, you know, every weekly or whatever, I'm stepping on the scale, I'm not seeing the scale moving, I'm literally saying things to myself like, I'm broken, nothing's gonna work for me, I can't believe I'm back here again. Like I just kept saying the same narrative. It was just very old narrative of like, oh my God, nothing's gonna work and blah, blah, blah. And I was trying all these things, you know, well, maybe I gotta work on my hormones. And so then I start working on my hormones and I invest in all this money and I start learning about how the hormones work together. 3 months go by, still no changes. And so I will have you say that now after around the 6 month mark of like really addressing my hormones, like the weight is actually coming off quite nicely. I gained 70 pounds this pregnancy. I'm 35 down. So, you know, I'm not really concerned about it. I know the rest will come in time, but I really feel like myself again, which is really nice. But the reason why I'm telling you guys this is because when I was sitting in my shit, when I was like, nothing ever works for me and this is how I'm always going to be, and I can't believe I brought myself here, it really just kept me stuck. It's not conducive for change. Versus when I looked at that situation and I was like, what is the situation trying to teach me? How can I let this low bring me to the upswing? So what it forced me to do was it forced me to understand hormones better. And it's just been amazing because as I've been able to rebalance my hormones, like I'm actually applying this with my clients and some of my clients who have had very, very stubborn weight where, you know, even when we heal the relationship to food, the weight doesn't really move. Now I have this brand new tool. And so it's like, oh my gosh, thank you, universe. Like, thank you for giving me that, if we could even call it a health crisis, because now I have this brand new tool that I get to use with my clients. And so if you can like just zoom out, if you can just pull yourself out of your ass for like 2 seconds and just zoom out and see the bigger picture, every single challenge that you're experiencing, every single downfall is actually designed to teach you something, to propel you forward. And if you can be fucking courageous enough and brave enough to see the lesson and actually make the changes, you will soar beyond your wildest dreams. You have no idea how quickly things will turn around for you. And so I hope that this is inspiring some of you guys that are in that low place right now to start asking yourself these questions. What do I need to learn from this? Who do I need to seek out? And there's this brilliant, one of the business coaches that I've had has always said, you know, smart people always ask like, how can I fix this? But intelligent or smarter people ask, who can help me to fix this? And that's what I had to ask. Like it's, you know, at a certain point, I can't be the answer and the solution to everything. And so that's when I'm investing in another coach. That's when I'm investing in a program that will help to teach me about the hormones and how to rebalance those. And so I think if you're stuck in the shit right now, ask yourself, who can help me? And then trust, like literally just fucking believe in yourself, invest in yourself, and like you'll get out of it and you'll be way better than you could have ever imagined. Okay, so the second one is the lows bringing the highs, right? The third one is you really need to own your desires, okay? I think that we are all so shy and afraid that like people are gonna judge us if we like want something big. Like for a really long time, I didn't want anyone to know that like I wanted to be a millionaire. I think we all wanna be a millionaire, you know? But like, because I run my own business, because I'm an entrepreneur, I didn't want anyone to know that like this was a desire of mine, because I didn't want people to say like she doesn't deserve it, or people to think that it was like I was being greedy or whatever it is. Another one is, you know, I was a born performer. My parents put me on a stage as soon as I could walk, and I was bullied a lot and made fun of in school for performing. Like I remember we had these like assemblies, you know, how you have like the school assembly. I was like in grade 2 or 3, and the principal like made me perform at those assemblies. And one of them, I had to sing this song. It was like, we say hello from around the world. Okay, anyways. And I like talked in different languages, saying hello from all these different languages around the world. And it was just like so embarrassing because forever all of the grade eights and grade sevens made fun of me singing that song all the time. And it just really traumatized me about being a performer. And then I went to high school where I went to an art school. So I went to Etobicoke School of the Arts. It's a really, really good high school. And so I went from being like the most talented kid in Oakville in my grade, if I do say so myself, into a school where it's like all these talented people, right? And so now I'm being like judged and compared to all these other really, really talented people who put in a lot harder work than I did. And so somewhere along the way, I just got the idea that wanting to be a celebrity, wanting to be in the spotlight, wanting to be on a stage and like speak to the masses and inspire people, whether that's through like song or motivational speaking, somewhere along the way, I got the idea that I shouldn't want that, that it's not for me, or that it's, you know, it's bad to want those things. And this year, I've really had to fucking own it, because if you don't own your desires, whatever it is, whether it's you want to make $1 million or you want to be on a stage, or I don't know, you want to be on TV, or you want to buy a house. Like, if you don't fucking own your desires, like, how is the universe going to give it to you? You know, like, how are you ever going to make the steps that you need to if you don't own exactly what you want? Imagine you, like, I want you to think about like manifesting your dreams and desires as if you're like going to a travel agent. Travel agent is the universe, by the way. You go to the travel agent and you're like, hey, I want to go to Cuba. And they're like, okay, let me just like pull up some numbers here. Let me just get like the tickets ready. Let me get everything you need to know about Cuba. And then you come back like 2 minutes later, and you're like, actually, no. I want to go to like Jamaica. And then they're like, okay, like, let's like go this way. And then I'm going to get the tickets and all the information. And you're like, oh, no. I actually don't even deserve to go to Jamaica. You know what? I just want to go like around the corner. And then they're like, okay, well, like, if you want to go around the corner, you can walk, you can go by car. You know what I mean? And so when you're asking for something, you need to be very specific and you need to believe that you deserve it. And you need to not let go of that. And so one of the things that I've learned this year is really just owning what I desire and owning who I am and not being afraid of what anybody else thinks. But there's also the fear of like, if I really pour myself into this and it doesn't happen, then what, right? Like, it's like, if I pour myself into wanting to like motivationally speak or wanting to like be interviewed on really big podcasts, if I pour myself into that, what if it doesn't happen? Then you're going to be let down. But let me tell you something, like, the only journey that is 100% impossible is the one that you never start. So if you can't even decide and own what you want, you're never going to get it. Like, you miss 100% of the shots you never take, or whatever that saying is, right? And so literally step one is deciding what you want and fucking owning it. Who gives a shit what anybody else thinks? And also, like, let's say that you like don't get exactly what you want. It's just a matter of time. Rejection is just redirection, which is actually my fourth lesson for you guys. So if you try and you fail and you try and you fail, it doesn't mean that like you're not getting that thing. It just means you're actually moving closer and closer and closer to the thing that is destined for you, which is always your desires. Like, there's nobody up there saying like, you, this person is allowed to be a millionaire and this person is not, right? It's all based on their programming. It's based on your subconscious programming. And if you want a good idea of what your subconscious programming is, just take a look around. Like, everything that you have in your life, whether how much money you make, the friends you have, what you look like, your health, everything that you have in your life is just a reflection of your subconscious programming. It's what you believe you deserve, right? And so somebody who has made millions and millions of dollars somewhere along the way believed that they could, and they were shown that. And so what you give, what you say, hey, this is my level, this is my worth, you're going to get that back. It's just a reflection. It's just a mirror. And so I really want you guys to get very clear about what it is that you want and not be afraid to ask for it. Because worst case scenario, you don't get it this year, but you'll get it next year or the year after, right? Or you'll end up somewhere among the stars, as they say, where it's like, it'll direct you into the thing that you actually want. Like, in no world does somebody have a dream for something that they cannot achieve. That's just cruel. Like, there's nobody up there being like, I'm going to plant this seed in Jordana's head to say that she wants X, Y, and Z, but like, I know she can't get it. Like, the only reason why you have these dreams and desires is because it's actually destined for you, but it's up to you to make the changes that you need to in order to get to that place. And part of that changes is really just owning it and believing in yourself. So that is my third one, own your desires. My fourth, like I mentioned before, is rejection is just redirection. So because of my past with bullying and my humiliation wound and all of that fun stuff, being rejected from like a social perspective, whether that is from a family member or friends or people that I don't even know, used to be like the most terrifying thing for me. Oh my gosh, I remember this one time I did this masterclass and I had like 150 people sign up. I was so excited. And a lot of people actually showed up. Like I think there was like 100 people on the call. This is the biggest masterclass I've ever done. This is the biggest audience I've ever spoken to. And I was doing this whole thing to like pitch my new online program, my new course. And so I pitched my program and not a single person bought it. Not a single person. And for an entire week and a half, I could not get out of bed. It was like the 8-year-old child inside of me felt like I was being booed off stage again. Like that's how I felt. It was so traumatizing for me. And like, nobody likes me. Nobody, I'm not good enough. It's never gonna happen for me. And it's just so funny how a trigger like that happens and it instigates all these core wounds that you thought you worked through, but they're actually still there. And so, but here's the thing, like the rejection is always just redirection. So when you don't get the thing that you want, it's because it's pushing you into another area for the thing that you actually deserve. And so if I had looked at that situation and been like, okay, nobody bought this course, maybe it's because I need to do something else or whatever, then I would have had a very different view on it. Another example is I was nominated for Entrepreneur of the Year award this year, and I was one of three people nominated and I did not get it, but the girl who got it was awesome. Like she deserved it. And I was very, very upset about it because I felt like, oh my gosh, this is like, I put in so much work. It's finally all paying off. And when I was talking to like my healer, my mentor, who's also an intuitive, she was like, Jordana, this isn't your break. Like she was like, you're actually destined for something much bigger than that. And it's so hard when you're in those moments where you're being rejected for you to like actually pull yourself out and see the bigger picture. Because I think that it's very easy for when you are rejected for you to continue to tell yourself the story of whatever your core wounds are. See, I'm not lovable. See, I'm not worthy. See, I'm destined for failure, right? It's like the part of you that you've worked so hard to quiet reactivates and is like, see, told ya. And if we can actually move past that and we can learn the lessons that we need to learn, then you're going to manifest something so much bigger. So rejection is always just redirection. The last thing that I want to say about how rejection is just redirection, this works both ways. So honestly, like if you're not a match for something, it's also not a match for you, right? And same thing goes for your own life. So sometimes you have to reject other people. Sometimes you have to reject opportunities in order to actually realign you with something that is more destined for you. So one example from this year is that, as most of you guys know, I'm preparing to do my TED Talk. It's very exciting. This is like going to be a huge fucking year. I just like literally can't even wait. I'm so grateful. But anyway, so how the TED Talk application process works is like you basically put everything together, you put your talk together, and then you send out like hundreds of applications, right? You send out multiple rounds. So I'm obviously working with somebody who has been like guiding me through this whole process. And I sent out my first round of applications and I got a few offers. And this was so exciting because he said, you know, nobody gets offers on their first round. And so I was like, oh my God, it's happening. And anyways, as I was looking more into the offer, it said like TEDx at youth somewhere in the States, like Raven's Hood or something in like Pittsburgh, Chicago. I can't remember. Anyways, I was looking through it and I was thinking to myself, like, oh, I don't know. Like, this is a youth event. Is this actually going to be aligned with me? But it was really exciting that I got the opportunity on my first round. And what if nobody else accepts me, right? And so I sent a message to my coach. His name's Tucker. He's amazing. And I was like, hey, Tucker, like, what do we think about this offer? And he said, absolutely reject it because other things are going to come in for you. And he said, because once you sign a contract with TED, with any TED Talk, you can't sign with anybody else. So it's not like I can do like 100 TED Talks. I have to be very, very strategic in the ones that I accept and the ones that I move forward with. So he was like, oh, another one will come. And he's so confident about that. But for me, I'm like terrified. Like I waited until the absolute last, not just the last day, but the last minute to send in my rejection of the actual talk because I was terrified that like, what if something else doesn't come to me? And also like, it's hard to reject other people. Like, what if people are counting on me? You don't want anybody to have like a negative emotion about you specifically, especially if you're like a recovering people pleaser, right? So it was really important for me to reject that opportunity because what I'm saying with that is that, hey, universe, I'm destined for better, right? Give me more, this and more. And so what it's now done is it's now opened me up to all these other TED Talk opportunities that are so much more aligned. And so like, stay tuned. We haven't yet made a decision, but if I had just gone with that one event, it might not have been actually at the level and reached the audience of the people that I need to, right? And so you actually can sit in the driver's seat and make that rejection. And if you don't reject or get rid of the things in your life that aren't working, you're basically telling the universe, this is my worth. So if you're staying in that toxic relationship with somebody who like can't get their shit together and call you back or give you the secure attachment that you need, and you stay there, you're basically telling the universe, this is what I'm worth. Bring me more of this, right? And so it's really important, although very difficult, because there's that fear of like, what if something better doesn't come? Or that fear of like, what if I never get better? What if this is the best I can get? It's really important that you value yourself and trust that what's meant for you will never, ever go by you. If you are meant to do a TED Talk, if you're meant to have the love of your life, if you're meant to XYZ, what's meant for you will never go by you, right? And in order for you to actually get to the place where you need to go, you have to let go and like weed out all the stuff that's like not meant for you. And it's not personal at all. Like this year, again, like I had to let go of some friends. It was a difficult process, but like so fucking glad I did. It's like a huge weight lifted off my shoulder. And if you continue to align yourself with people who like make you feel heavy and icky and just like aren't aligned with your next self, you will continue to get more of that. And so like, thank you so much for playing the role in my life that you did, but also like on to the next thing, you know? Okay, the last thing, nope, yes. The fifth lesson I learned in 2022 is just to get the fuck over yourself. Like honestly, just like stop taking yourself so seriously. And I don't mean get the fuck over yourself in a way where it's like, don't be confident, because in like adversely, I want you to actually be so fucking full of yourself that like you overflow with how confident you are, because if you're not full of yourself, like who the fuck will be? But I also need you to get over yourself, right? Stop taking yourself so seriously. Thoughts are not things. That voice, those negative narratives in your head, the ones that tell you you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you're not pretty enough, whatever that like catastrophe you're brewing in your nervous system is, those thoughts are not real. They're coming from many, many different narratives. And half the time, it's not even you. It's not even yourself. It's something that you've picked up, you know, by subconscious programming, by observing the people around you. It could be your mother's voice. It could be something that you've picked up because for fear, right? So oftentimes like the inner critic or the inner bully are really just there to protect you. So they'll hurt your feelings before anybody else does. But it doesn't mean that that's true. Like when you look in the mirror and you're like, holy fuck, I do not like what I see. That's the inner bully saying like, hey, by the way, don't be surprised if anybody else doesn't like you because like you don't look great, right? But instead of that propelling us in the direction of actually wanting to go to the gym, it just keeps us stuck because we create that identity around like, I'm not attractive, I'm not good enough, I'm not whatever. And your daily behaviors are going to match your deepest beliefs about yourself. And so the thoughts that you have, stop taking them so seriously. Like when I have those negative thoughts, I literally imagine that it's like something outside of me. This is called cognitive dissociation. I want you to detach from the thoughts and I want you to hear them. And I want you to be like, not now. No, thank you. We'll talk later. See ya. Get the fuck out. So when you do this by literally not engaging with the thought, you're teaching the brain to thought prioritize, which means that the thoughts that you focus on, you feed and they become your reality. So if you're focusing on the fact that like you didn't get the job because you're not as smart as the girl who did, and also that means that like you're never going to find love and that you like should just throw out your whole wardrobe because like nothing looks good on you. Like if those are the thoughts that you're like feeding, you're literally watering those thoughts and they're going to grow and grow and grow. And then they're going to take up mental real estate and your body is going to follow the mind. And so if that's what you think about yourself, that's what you believe, that's what you're going to manifest into your life. And so if we can though, hear the thought and just like drop it. Like I want you to imagine that all of these thoughts are coming at you like dodgeballs, right? Like we can't necessarily control the thoughts that we have, but we can control the thoughts that we decide to express. And what I mean by that is when we get all these like bombardment of thoughts, like these dodgeballs coming at you, it's like you have to hold on to the thought to express it. You have to water it. So if the thoughts are coming at you, you're not good enough, you look like shit, you're fat, you're ugly, whatever it is, and you hold on to it, then you allow it to exist in your mental real estate and it's going to grow and grow and grow. But if we can like catch that thought, like I'm not good enough, and we can just like drop it, like literally just like let it go, not now, get the fuck out, like literally just drop it and think about something else, we're teaching the brain this thought is not important, and your brain is literally going to weed out the programs that you don't use. So if you have these programs, if you're allowing these thoughts to exist over and over again, the brain is going to learn, it's going to believe that it's an important program. We can simply teach it to thought prioritize and think about something else. And so when I say to you, get the fuck over yourself, I mean, seriously, get over yourself. Like nothing should be taken seriously. Like there is honest, there's very, very few and far in between things that you can actually do that will like totally mess up the course of your life. And even in those instances, like, let's not forget, like I was arrested, right? So like there are some pretty shitty things that you can do and there are going to be negative consequences, but those negative consequences are actually all a part of the plan and all a part of the journey. So if you can learn to observe yourself and not judge yourself, right? Just take a step back and observe all of the decisions that you're making and not judge yourself, you're going to realize when you zoom out that it's actually all a part of your journey. And so if we can see that it's all part of your journey, then like you don't take anything too seriously. I'm going to give you guys one example about this, but yesterday was the day after Christmas. So yesterday I was like hungover, not feeling great. And I was just eating a lot. Like we went up for breakfast and then I was watching TV and I was like snacking in between. And I started to hear this like negative narrative of like, oh my gosh, it's like, are you binge eating? Like, I was like, is this happening right now? Like, is this coming back? Cause like, there's no way I was hungry. Like definitely wasn't hungry, but I kept going up for snacks. Right. And so I had that narrative and then I was just like, ugh, don't take it too seriously. Ugh, this is going to pass. Like not a big deal. Just like, let it go for now. Like, just like do your thing. Anyways, we ended up getting pizza for dinner. I had two pieces and then I drank some water and then I literally like went to bed. And this morning I woke up and it was like nothing ever happened. And so the problem is if I had allowed myself to like express those thoughts for the entire day, like I would have actually manifested back a binge eating like tendency, right? I probably would have like started to catastrophize. Oh no, this is happening again. And then I'm like, I'll start again tomorrow. And tomorrow it's not like I'll start restricting tomorrow. But instead I was just like, interesting. Like I'm just going to let that go. I'm just going to let that thought go and just express something different. Wow, this is a really good show I'm watching. Oh my gosh, it's so inspiring. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to watch this show. Then I went to sleep and I've had an amazing day so far. So anyways, get over yourself. Your thoughts are not real and stop taking yourself so seriously. That's the fifth one. And the last, this is like a bonus, number six, the one that I'm going to say is that what the last thing that I learned in 2022 is that nobody's coming to save you. This is a really hard one for people to hear, but I think that ultimately you are the only reason why things aren't working out in your life. And there might be other influences, like there might be people who make you feel crappy. And so you continue to manifest that. But at the end of the day, it is nobody else's job to come and save you. Everybody is really focused on themselves. And so if you're in the pits, if you're not feeling great about yourself, it is literally your job to get your shit together and do the things that you need to in order to be the best version of yourself. I had a client recently, she's in this really yucky, toxic relationship. And you know, our work together has been mainly on like weight loss and binge eating. But for the majority of time that we've worked together, we've been talking about this relationship. It's like, you know, he just makes her feel like crap. Like he's very inconsistent. He's very unreliable. And so when he doesn't respond or he makes a promise and he doesn't keep it, she tells herself, I'm not good enough. It's because of me. I'm fat. I'm ugly, whatever. And so if she remains in that relationship, that external force, the other person, is making her feel like she doesn't deserve anything better, but she's actually the one making the choice to stay there. And so as much as we can blame the world around us, as much as we can blame the circumstances, I'm too busy to exercise, I don't like cooking, this is my metabolism, it's just my genetics, like he did XYZ and now I feel like this, like you can blame the outside circumstances all you want, but honey, until you actually take responsibility for yourself, nothing is going to change at all. And it's nobody else's job. It is only your job to take responsibility for yourself. And so I encourage you in 2023, like all of the dreams and desires that you have for your like best life ever. Like, I want you to just close your eyes for a second and just like take a big deep breath and think about the person that you, like you on your best day ever, the person that you are destined to be, the person you want to be in the next 5 to 10 years. I want you to really think about that. Get a very clear image. You don't have to get specific about where you are and what's going on, but get very specific about how you feel, the energy behind it. And I want you to know that that's the real you. The negative emotions that you're feeling right now and the challenges and the lessons that you're going through were actually designed to force you to change to become the best version of yourself. And so don't take the bait, like don't victimize yourself and allow yourself to sit in your shit for too long before you like learn the lessons and get your shit together and work towards the person that you were destined to be. Because let me tell you something, honey, life is way too fucking short. It's way too short to feel like shit all the time. And so you are the only one that is really going to be able to, like, you can invest in whatever you want, me, other coaches, whatever. We're there to facilitate the process, right? Like, we're there to, like, help you get your head out of your ass. But at the end of the day, you're the one who has to make the decision to do it. So start asking yourself questions like, how are you showing up? What's in your environment right now? What are, like, leaks in your environment that you're, like, allowing to be there that is really just devaluing who you are? And I promise you, if you work towards like creating boundaries and getting that shit out of your life and really focusing on behaviors that are going to make you feel better after versus before, like long-term pleasure versus short-term gratification, I promise you, you will be a brand new person in 3 months. Like 3 months is nothing. Oh my gosh. 3 months was like December, November, October. Like October was like yesterday to me. Imagine in 3 months, the person that you can really be. Right? But it starts now. Like the best time to start was yesterday. The second best time is right now, right today. Don't even wait for January 1st. Like just like literally take an inventory. I want you to go through your 2022 like I just did and think about all the lessons that you've learned. And also now, where is that bringing you? Who do you want to be? And like I said before, nobody's coming to save you. So it is really just your job to believe in yourself enough to get yourself there. Okay. All right, my friends, I love you guys so much. I just wanted to say thank you so, so much for listening to this podcast. It's been an incredible year. I'm so excited for what 2023 has to bring. And I'm so excited for all of you because I just know that the time is now. Like as much as the time is now for me, it's also right now for you guys. And you can have everything that you want because it's yours. Okay? All right. If you like this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe. And I'll see you on another episode of the Head to Heal podcast. Happy New Year.